This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This is part two of a two-part podcast. If you'd like part one, you'll find it at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. You're listening to part two of a two-part series with financial expert and inspirational speaker, Barbara Stanny. In part two, we cover the imposter syndrome, seven realizations of financial enlightenment, the feminine face of power today, the spiritual side of taking charge of our finances, and getting past the discomfort zone of change. I really hope you enjoy these interviews. They're amazing, deeply insightful, and ultimately transformational if we really take heart to what Barbara Stanny is saying. I hope you enjoy both parts, and I look forward to serving you soon. Please feel free to make comments in the blog or on the website. Okay, have a great day.
Powerful is just knowing who you are and being able to express that in the world. It doesn't mean becoming male. It doesn't mean ignoring your nurturing qualities. The first thing is just going to be coincidence. There's going to be amazing coincidence, synchronicities that will come into your life. Like you'll just sit down on an airplane next to someone who has just the information you need. You'll open the paper and there's just the class you want to take. You know, you get a phone call. There's just the person you needed to talk to. I always say to everyone, if you're not feeling uncomfortable, you're not changing.
Wow.
Oftentimes, when you go to the next level, when you go to do something that you're not comfortable doing, when you go to do something you haven't done before, when you go to stretch, when you take on that scary assignment, when you go to say, okay, I'm going to start investing in mutual funds or I'm going to open an IRA, it's like there's this being inside you, this feeling that says, you don't know what you're talking about.
Gotcha.
You don't know what you're doing. What happened was I interviewed women who were smart with money. I noticed seven themes playing throughout every interview. Every woman I interviewed came to a series of insights or ahas. I call them realizations, and there were seven in all.
So Barbara, we were talking about some of the things that get in the way of us being the most powerful women we can be. And we were talking a little bit about this concept that's, you know, been around for a while called alpha females. And I wanted to hear your perspective on women who are taking control of their finances, making the money in the family, which is changing the dynamics of how relationship, partnership, marriage is, and how we can maintain our nurturing, soft, feminine spirit while still being the key breadwinner in the household.
You know, I have my other book that I wrote, Secrets of Six-Figure Women and Overcoming Under-Earning. I interviewed women who were very high earners. And the book I'm working on now is I'm interviewing women who make millions. And what I found is that really feeling empowered respects who you are, which is that nurture in us. I have this T-shirt that I had made, and it says, embrace your bitch. Because I believe the bitch, that person that is so put down by the male population, that bitch is that's where our power is. That part of ourselves that knows what she wants, refuses to be a victim, a doormat, or tolerate injustice. The acronym is a babe in total control of herself. Now, the bitch is not that part of ourselves that's codependent, puts everybody's needs first, and then becomes very cranky. It's also not that part of ourselves that's very insecure and scared, so we overcompensate and become a bully. So I think the more secure a woman is by understanding and taking control of her finances, by doing what she's scared to do, by stretching, by surrounding herself with support, she becomes so powerful that in that power, powerful is just knowing who you are and being able to express that in the world. It doesn't mean becoming male. It doesn't mean ignoring your nurturing qualities. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And what I'm hearing is that you're asking us to face our fear so we can actually soften and be less reactive.
That's exactly right. Because what happens, the more fear we have, the more protection we need.
Exactly.
The harder our edges.
Exactly.
The more we face that fear, the more we fall down and get back up and keep going, the less self-protection we will need to put up. The more of ourselves we can show, the more vulnerable and authentic we can be. And at the same time, a powerful woman is the final authority in her life. She's a responsible adult. The more we can step into our adult, the more we can exercise our power.
Yeah. And having boundaries and having, our ultimatums and, you know, it's about knowing ourselves. And I think it's important as we grow to, let go of these beliefs that you have to be some kind of, you know, cold, bitchy, masculine woman in order to be powerful. It's almost like the new power of woman.
The new power is the feminine power.
Yeah.
And that's what this next book I'm writing is exploring. As I'm interviewing women who make millions, and there are quite a lot of them, they really are, they really, to me, symbolize, embody the feminine power at its most highest level.
That is so exciting to hear. I have to say, even in, government, there's like, where do we look for our role models? And what you're saying is you're starting to interview and get the word out on powerful women who are embodying their feminine, which I think most people, women, have been shying away from because they don't want to turn into men. And you're saying that is not the case at all.
The only women that turn into men are women whose life is run and based on and guided by fear.
Got it.
So what I do is I only write books about things I want to learn about. I only interview women who I want to be as role models. And interviewing these women who have gone to the highest level is fascinating, fascinating. And it's what I'm seeing is the feminine face of power that is very different from the masculine model. And everything we have in terms of leadership and power and even finances is based on the male model.
What does the feminine face of power look like?
Someone who knows who she is and is willing to express that in the world. It's someone who has that iron fist in the velvet glove. It's someone who would rather be respected than liked. It's someone who is willing to take not only a stretch, but a giant leap. And if she falls flat on her face, she gets back up. It's someone who has a higher purpose, who is operating in a purpose that is far greater than just making money. It is somebody who has a mission and a purpose in this world, a really big vision, and is willing to make the tough decisions that it takes to get there.
Would you say sacrifices?
Trade-offs.
Trade-offs.
There's a difference between sacrifice and trade-off.
Talk to me.
Because we are always, always making trade-offs. Even when we think we're not making sacrifices, we are. But I prefer to call them trade-offs. And the powerful women that I have interviewed, they talk in terms of trade-offs. Because there's always a price, there's always a cost for any decision.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds more empowering, too. It's like, okay, I'm choosing this, not that, and
right.
I'm fully empowered to choose. It's not like that dramatic, oh, I'm sacrificing this.
But they make their trade-offs. They make their choices based on their values. Not on what they should do, not on what someone else told them they do, not on the cultural imperatives. Powerful women really know themselves. They know what's important. They know their priorities. And they know when to say yes, what fits that priority, and they know when to say no, what doesn't. You want me to give you an example?
Yes, please.
I interviewed a woman who had just been asked to be on the board of this company. This is a very large company who was doing business in China. And she was very excited because it meant 2 days she was in Michigan, and twice a year she'd be getting an expense-paid trip to San Francisco. She'd meet all these amazing people, blah, 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 blah. But then she thought about it, and she looked, and she said, my value, Chinese business, is not important to me. If I take that, I will be giving up the time with my partner. I will be giving up the time with my children. I will be giving up the time to write my book. And while it'd be a luscious, fabulous adventure, it doesn't fit with my values.
Wow.
And she said no. That's what power looks like.
I'm going to add one thing here. You were talking a little bit in the beginning about the spiritual aspect of taking charge and waking up to your financial freedom. Would you say, and I've heard this before, that the universe conspires to help you when you make those kinds of big value-based choices in your life? What do you have to say about that? You know what I'm saying?
Now, this isn't just based on my opinion, okay? This is based on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews and thousands of conversations. That when you make a decision to make more money, to really get smart with money, like I made the decision when my father wouldn't lend me money that being stupid was no longer an option. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know what I was going to do. When you make a decision, a commitment, and it's based on what's right for you, not what you think you should do, I absolutely believe the universe revolves to help you reach your goal. Whenever you make a decision like that, two things will happen. There's no doubt. And if these two things aren't happening, I always tell people, go back to the drawing boards, because your commitment, you are not committed to whatever that goal or decision was. And the first thing is there's going to be coincidence. There's going to be amazing coincidence, synchronicities that will come into your life. Like you'll just sit down on an airplane next to someone who has just the information you need. You'll open the paper and there's just the class you want to take. You know, you get a phone call. There's just the person you needed to talk to. Here's the thing. Those coincidences are the opportunities. So you don't have to figure out how to do anything. You just need to take advantage of those coincidences, those opportunities. And the second thing will happen is you won't want to do it. You go into resistance. Resistance is always part of change. The key is to see your resistance and don't let it stop you. Because anywhere you are, when you're here and you want to go there, there is a gap between here and there. And that gap is what I call the discomfort zone. And all success in anything, I don't care if it's losing weight or managing money, it always lies just outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so the key is, and that discomfort zone is filled with tension. The key is to use that anxiety, to use that tension as a sign you're going in the right direction, not a sign something's wrong. It's the universe telling you, pushing you, this is it. I always say to everyone, if you're not feeling uncomfortable, you're not changing.
Wow. Makes sense. So you're asking us to use that anxiety as a signal to keep going versus stop.
Yes, and to get lots of support, which the universe will always send you.
Yeah, and not be afraid to ask for support from our friends or family and just let people know, hey, I'm changing my life, and being confident enough to say, I'm taking the reins here.
And you know something? You can be afraid, you can lack total confidence, and you ask anyway.
Mm.
Because in my world and in the people, women I've interviewed, there's no such thing as fearlessness when you go to make big changes.
Right.
The key is to feel the fear, to feel the doubt, and do it anyway.
Or I would say, allow yourself to be vulnerable.
Correct.
Yeah.
Perfect. Just don't let that fear stop you. That's the key. You know, it was amazing when I interview these women who make a lot of money, who are very successful, who are living life on their own terms, how many of them are afraid, feel like a fraud, and are afraid others are going to find out. You know that imposter syndrome?
Wow.
It is wild, rampant among women. But what I saw very early on is that's how I felt too. But the difference between them and me is they didn't let it stop them.
Gotcha. So women feel like imposters.
Oh, yes. When I just spoke at Harvard MBA alumni. These were women who were the best and the brightest and very successful. And when I started talking about this imposter syndrome, that's what got the discussion going. Mm. They all couldn't believe other people felt like that too. You mean other women feel like it? Yes, but we don't talk about it.
Wow, you're bringing major consciousness. And so then what happens when we start to go, oh, well, I feel like an imposter too? It's like we can move it and move beyond it.
That's right. When I heard women that I respected and admired and was like salivating, if I could be as smart as them, if I could be as successful as them, talk about the fraud, the feeling like a fraud, it was like, wait a minute, I feel like that too. I can go on and do it anyway. You know, I'm not afraid of that anymore, but you have no idea when I first started writing and speaking about money, coming from the background that I did, of being a total loser with money, like, where are they going to figure it out? When are they going to figure out I don't know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
Until I realized it doesn't matter, because my intention is not to be right. My intention is to inspire and motivate others. Right. To be better.
Okay, I'm fascinated by this. Is the imposterness about making money? It's not about making money. Like, these women know how to make money. Is it about managing their money?
The imposter syndrome is going to the next level. Whenever, oftentimes, when you go to the next level, when you go to do something that you're not comfortable doing, when you go to do something you haven't done before, when you go to stretch, when you take on that scary assignment, when you go to say, okay, I'm going to start investing in mutual funds or I'm going to open an IRA, it's like there's this being inside you, this feeling that says, you don't know what you're talking about.
Gotcha.
You don't know what you're doing. I remember I was giving overcoming under-earning class one time, and we were going around doing our goals, saying what our goal was for the class, and one woman said, my goal is to get Blanche to shut up. And I said, who's Blanche? I thought she was in the wrong class. And she said, Blanche is that voice in my head that tells me how stupid I am.
Wow.
This other woman at the back of the room says, oh, mine, Sister Mary Margaret. She was the nun who told me I would never amount to anything. Well, we all have those voices. We all have those voices. And sometimes they never shut up. Mine sometimes get a little quiet. Mine says, you don't have what it takes. You don't know what you're doing. And the key is to look that voice square in the eye and say, thank you for sharing, and keep going.
Oh, my God. We have to take one more break, and we have to come back because we have to go over the realizations for financial enlightenment. You are such a delight. I could talk to you forever. Let's take a quick break, come back, and we will wrap up. This is Elisa Kreitman, your host of Just for Women. I'm talking with Barbara Stanny. Oh, my God. This is ladies, must get this book. And when we come back, I'll tell you how to do exactly that. We'll be right back.
Listen to Coaching the Life Coach, Business and Marketing Strategies for Growth of Transformational Practices with Jason McLean, your guide in the 21st century marketplace on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back. This is Elisa Kreitman, your host of Just for Women. We are talking today with Barbara Stanny, who is author of Prince Charming Isn't Coming, How Women Get Smart About Money. And what we're really realizing is it's not really about money. It's about power. It's about loving ourselves. It's about having fear and acting anyway. It's about going for it, getting support. All of these things we never thought at the underbelly of our power with taking on our financial wealth and freedom. So Barbara, in this last segment, let's talk about what you call the seven realizations for financial enlightenment. And I really love that you say enlightenment because this really is spiritual work that you're doing. You really are supporting women in whole new ways of being, operating in the world. This really is transformation. So let's talk about these seven realizations.
What happened was I interviewed women who were smart with money. I noticed seven themes playing throughout every interview. Every woman I interviewed came to a series of insights or ahas. I call them realizations, and there were seven in all. And when I integrated those realizations into my thinking, that's when everything shifted for me. So these realizations, by applying them to your own life, and truly, they don't just apply to money, because they apply to anywhere you want to make a shift, anywhere you want to shift your consciousness. It's when you apply it to money and you realize why you've been having so much trouble. The first realization is a realization I had when my father wouldn't lend me the money for those $1 million in tax bills. And it's that realization, no one will do this for me. Prince Charming isn't coming. It's up to me. And when you get that in your gut, that's what frees you, motivates you, lights the fire for the second realization. And that is to start learning. But learning follows a curve. I remember interviewing a woman who was very, very savvy and sophisticated. And this is when I was like at the very beginning and feeling like an absolute klutz around money. And I remember saying to her, oh my God, you're so smart. I just don't think I could ever be like that. And she said to me, Barbara, you're catching me on the tail end of a long learning curve.
Mm.
So when I understood the psychological phases of a learning curve, that part of a learning curve is getting on and realizing how much you don't know, realizing how much there is to learn, feeling that overwhelm, and to keep reading, to keep listening, to keep talking, to keep watching. And eventually, you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel. But sometimes you get stuck on that learning curve. You get stuck, which is the third realization. All the answers aren't out there. And we talked about this earlier. All the answers aren't out there. We need to explore our attitudes, beliefs, and feelings, and decisions that we made about ourselves and money that is determining our relationship with money and the choices we make. Fourth realization is there are no secrets. Now, this was a big one for me because I really grew up my whole life believing there are secrets about money that men know and some women. And if I could just figure out what those secrets are. And I actually overheard at a conference some one woman say to another, you know, there are no secrets. They're just smart things smart people do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fifth realization. That's the fourth realization. The fifth realization is really critical for women. This is a real biggie. Risk is not synonymous with loss. You ask any woman, when they hear the word risk, what do they think of? And they'll immediately think of loss. You know, smart women understood risk is an opportunity for gain. Because the biggest risk you and I take as women is that we will outlive our money, that our money will not grow as fast as inflation and taxes will take it away. So at least part of your money needs to be invested in assets that will grow faster than inflation and taxes can take it away. So there are no secrets. Risk is not synonymous with loss. And just as the first realization is, no one will do this for me, the sixth realization is, I don't have to do this alone. And I really am a big believer. And the women that I interviewed were too. The women who had the highest were not necessarily the ones who made the most or married the most or inherited the most, but they were the ones who worked with financial professionals, often a team. And that's really critical. I believe it's not a do-it-yourself project. And sixth, take it away. That's the sixth. I don't have to do this alone. And seventh, when you put these first six together and you realize you can do this, you can understand and be responsible for your financial decisions, you come to that seventh realization, which is I can make a difference. I can use my money to make a difference. And that's where the power is.
Wow. And you said that we can apply these seven realizations anywhere in our life. And I was just thinking that the fifth one, you know, risk and loss. I mean, mostly you would think about that in terms of stocks, you know, money. But I was thinking we can do that in relationship as well. And what we're risking is being authentic. You know, when we risk being our true selves, I think inherently we're afraid we're going to lose the relationship, and most of the time it's probably a good thing.
But here's what most of us do, including me, is we hold ourselves, we put up walls. We have our own little set of armor so we don't get hurt. Because risk in relationship means getting hurt. So we protect ourselves, so we hold back. Which the irony of that is we have more of a chance of disconnecting with that person than if we let our armor down, we took the risk to get closer. And we learn from every relationship. We learn from every step we take with money. We learn from it all.
Tell me a little bit more about that, the bridge between being financially savvy and how that affects our, I'll say, intimate relationships or marriages. Because one of the things you said is that the number one reason for divorce, and I don't know when this statistic came out, was money.
But truly, it's not. Anytime we argue about money, anytime we have a problem that we say is the reason is money, anytime we can't do something, we say it's money. It's never about money. Never, ever, ever. Money is a smokescreen. You look at every relationship where they're fighting about money, and you'll go underneath that, and you'll see it's often a power struggle. It's often a lack of communication. It's often fear and mistrust. But the key is to look under those arguments about money and to get to the heart of it, the meat of it, what's really going on. And it's only when you can feel fluent financially that you can securely and confidently have those kinds of discussions. Women are so afraid when they start talking about money they'll rock the boat, they'll upset the apple cart, you know, all those cliches. And it's true. It's true. But in order to create a new relationship, in order to create a relationship of equality and true leadership, those are the kind of discussions we need to have.
Got it. And it goes back to having that fear and acting anyway.
Having that fear and acting it anyway, yes.
Because I'll say most women who maybe are in marriages or long-term committed relationships right now know that there's problems they're not addressing.
Oh, yes. We all have it in our life.
Yeah, and not...
We all have, even if we're not in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
in overcoming under-earning, the first step to going to that next level in your life, whether it is money or relationships, it's about telling the truth. It's also telling the truth about your strengths and your skills and your gifts and honoring those. And we can really come from that place of truth, because we don't want to see the truth because then we'll have to do something about it. But what I found from all my interviews, when you tell yourself the truth, that awareness itself will start a process going that will unearth the solution. You don't have to figure it out.
Mm. I love it. It's a great segue into also talking more about what you have to offer. You talked about your Be Your Own Prince Charming course. You have Overcoming Under-Earning course, which is mostly sounds like the foundation of it is telling the truth.
Well, there's also a lot of steps there, too. And I also have a course that I license. It's a two-hour workshop that I license to coaches or financial advisors, or anyone who wants to help women with their money issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Secrets of Successful High Earners. And that's been a very powerful workshop.
Great. So you have technology you can actually license.
I license. That's right. That's right.
And tell me again,
Secrets of Successful High Earners.
Successful High Earners.
So if you ever have an opportunity to see that being offered, take advantage of it. It's a great workshop.
And that can be found on your website, which is Barbara Stanny, which is Stanny, no E, .com.
Right.
And how can women get in touch with you through email? Is there...
Through my website. There's a place where it says contact me, and they can get right to me.
Perfect. And you've got CDs there, books there, video clips, and free audio downloads, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff on there.
And listeners, I'd also like to let you know that you can email me at Alissa, A-L-I-S-S-A, at personallifemedia.com. And feel free to send me your comments on the show, ask questions, and offer any other ideas for topics you might like me to cover on the show. Oh, I hate to let you go, Barbara. I could talk to you all day long. You are fascinating and captivating, and I'm sure you have a calendar of events, yeah, where you're going next?
I do. It's on my website.
Yeah.
This has been fun because I haven't been able to talk about money and relationships and how that works, mm-hmm. money and men for women. And there's just a whole fascinating body of knowledge around that. So thanks for giving me that opportunity.
My pleasure. You know, a lot of my shows, I interviewed some sex and intimacy coaches not too long ago, and it's like, yeah, one of the number one things women want to learn about is how to have a better orgasm. And what you're saying is get out of your head, get out of your fear. You know, it's like so inextricably linked, all of these unconscious little pockets of our lives. And I love that you are making that connection, because I don't think women are making that connection.
But studies have shown that there is a connection. And it's not just about getting out of your body, getting out of your head. That would be too hard for me to do. I know that's important, but for me, it's getting deeper inside me, understanding what makes me tick, doing what I'm afraid to do, really having a relationship with money, which means knowing that I am a responsible adult, feeling the strength and power that comes from that. Man, that makes for great sex.
Barbara Stanny, thank you so much for being on Just for Women. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. And that brings us to the end of the show. Listeners, also for text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. This is your host, Elisa Kreitman, always expanding your choices here on Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.